Welcome back. Great to have your company. Great to have the company of Andrew Bogart, who's joining me for a little chat. Thanks to Dometic, mobile living made easy. The Australian and NBA basketball superstar has been good enough in the middle of being a dad to have a chat. Welcome to you, Andrew. Thanks for your time.
No worries.
Is that what you're doing full time? You're a full time dad at the moment. What are you up to?
Yeah, pretty much. Just at home with the kids and wife, and obviously trying to do the right thing as much as we can and stay home. But it's definitely an interesting time, that's for sure.
Are you? Have you got a backyard? Have you got a hoop in the backyard so you can play some one on one? What have you got at home that can keep you busy?
Nah, Sydney property, mate. You can't get a big block that close to where we need to be. So we're lucky enough to have a pool, so we get in there as much as we can. Our trampoline is about as much as they have. We do live across the road from a park, but that just got closed off recently too. So pretty interesting stuff.
It is. Are you allowed to go to the King's facility to train, even if it's just one with one other person at the moment? Which some of the footy teams down here are allowed to pair up and go for a jog or do some training or have a kick, but they're not allowed to go to the club's facility. What have the Kings decided to do?
Yeah, I think we've shut it down just because we obviously don't own our own facility, so it makes things a little more tricky and there's a third party involved. But you mean the positive side for us is that our season just finished a couple of weeks ago, so most of the guys are kind of on the relax path for 2-3-4 weeks, maybe a month before they get back into it. So, you know, training for us right now isn't the top of the priority list, which kind of works out with what's going on.
So when you're cruising down the local park with the kids, I presume the selfie would have been something that you would have been asked for a million times. Can't do that now.
Yeah, you can't. I've obviously been out a few times just to get some essentials, and a few people have kind of asked and then realised and kind of try to take it from a metre and a half away, which makes things a little interesting. But definitely everyone's kind of got their guard up, which I think is, you know, as harsh as it is, it's good as well. We need to try and, you know, squash this thing as soon as we can so everyone can get back to work and do what they like doing.
Yeah, might start a trend with that 3 metre distance selfie. Is that Andrew Bogart in the background there of your photo? I think I can just see him. Are you optimistic the NBL season's going to start?
I don't know. Honestly, I think it's a coin flip at this point. Like I said earlier, the lucky thing for our league and for us is our season just finished and you know, not starting till September, October. So we have some time, but obviously you got to, number one, stay financially viable in that period where no money's coming in, and you got to make sure that you can, you know, we can't really sign players right now. Free agency has been delayed. But the positive for our sport is we're not in the middle of a season like AFL and NRL, which would be even worse because you're right in the thick of it.
And I suppose that there's been a bit of chat, and I had a chat to Gazy about it the other day, about maybe Australia would become a more attractive place to play if you're from Europe or America and October comes around. Do you think it might actually help in terms of imports coming here? I know it's pretty tough with the quarantine restrictions, but do you think that they might come here even given a 14-day isolation period?
Yeah, I think so. I think, look, our league's in a good spot as far as the competition goes. It's obviously summer over here during the season, but I think, you know, not to toot our own horn, but kind of what we did, which wasn't, you know, well-liked early on, where we obviously didn't want to pull out of a grand final series but ended up doing it. You know, I think it's created a lot of positivity around imports coming over now, especially to our club, just because I think we were on the front foot to show that we have our players' health and welfare as the top priority, where a lot of clubs in Europe and possibly even the NBL at times, obviously if you're an import, you're kind of, you're a mercenary to an extent where, yeah, we're paying you a lot of money, just shut up and play. And I think we made a decision listening to everybody, and our main concern was our imports getting home, and we made that tough decision during the grand final series. So I think that's going to give us some kind of brownie points, you know, with imports and agents, knowing that, hey, if you sign with the Sydney Kings, like, you know, we're going to look after you and make sure the right thing for your future and your health and your career is as important as winning games.
Talking to Andrew Bogart, Australian and NBA superstar. So you'd settled your differences with the NBL in the end? You got that sorted?
I don't think it was differences. I think it was just, you know, in fairness, no one was prepared to handle this the right way. So that would be the, you know, in fairness, and if I was defending the NBL, it'd be, you know, look, who could have planned for this? No, you know, a lot of great leagues in the world have fallen down, not just, you know, the NBL or other leagues, but I think it was just more just being a bit more proactive and relaying that messaging into the playing group directly. It wasn't a situation where there was 9 teams left competing in an NBL regular season where you had to contact every club and all that. There was 2 teams left. So I think just getting, you know, not even going through the officials, like actually directly getting the players on a conference call with the league, I think it would have just created a bit more calm leading into the grand final series. But hindsight's a beautiful thing, and you hope they learn from it the same way we will as players.
NBL's in a interesting spot with private ownership. The Illawarra Hawks are now a bit of a talking point, whether they'll survive or whether someone else will buy in. Do you see the NBL as just as attractive as ever, and maybe even more attractive for a buyer to come in and be part of a club like Illawarra?
Well, it is. Look, it's not something that is a positive whenever a club owner walks out and hands a license back. It's never a good thing, and obviously we know, you know, Larry owns his fair share of NBL teams, so we just want to make sure that's evenly spread around. But sometimes he has to take over, and the NBL has to take over, and this is probably one of those situations. But I think it's a long-term play in the NBL. I don't think anyone in their right mind expects to invest today and make money tomorrow. I think it's going to be, you know, it's a long journey to make money in this league. There's been a lot of speed bumps along the way. We know Larry's invested a lot of money, so there is some debt sitting there, but as far as an investment, I think it's definitely that 5-10 year play to try and make something out of it.
Do you think a second team in Sydney or Illawarra, as if you were to own that franchise, is the better bet, staying in Illawarra or try and become Sydney's second?
It's a tough one. Look, the Illawarra fans are great fans from what I've experienced. They're very, very passionate, but it is a small community club, so... you know, we cop a lot of flack for being a big club that finds a lot of big names, but we obviously stay within the salary cap as best we can, and sometimes other clubs don't get to do that, and I think Illawarra is a prime example of that. Sometimes they're very budget hamstrung, and you want them to do well, but at the same time the decision might be to move them. I know their building there is a tough lease for them that costs a fair bit to open the doors to, so that's probably something they can maybe lobby the local government for some help to try and remain in Illawarra. But I think there's a lot of different things going on down there, and they need to figure that out pretty quickly if they want to stay afloat.
I've spoken to a few older sports stars on this program over the last couple of weeks, and a lot of them have said to me that they think their body's going to be better off for a long layoff, that they might actually be able to come back a little better than they were. You're in an interesting situation with the Olympic Games and been postponed for a year. You were ready to go and help lead us to a medal. Is there a chance that the time off might help Andrew Bogut?
Oh, no doubt. Any time helps off for me. If it's a day or a week, with the way the body is, obviously, as you know, playing, you know, you get older, and it's not so much that odd one game or two games. It's just backing up to every game that kind of gets you when you get older. So I think the rest will definitely help. And, you know, it is disappointing the Olympics have been pushed off for another year, but try to use it as a positive and like you said, get the body and mind right and try to make a good run at it for the Olympic Games in a year's time.
So you're definitely still keen to have a crack at being there in 2021?
Yeah, I'm still very keen, obviously. The plans for me were to get to the Olympics this year and then reassess. That's been thrown out of the window, so I'm still up in the air about exactly what I'm going to do and how I go about my journey getting there and all that. I still haven't decided one way or another. I think it's going to be a moving parts type thing, and I think the main priority right now is to get this pandemic squashed, and then we can all make real world decisions about our jobs and our families and all that kind of stuff. But until that happens, it's kind of senseless to make decisions based on not knowing what's, you know, when the future is going to be open slather again.
Yeah, and I suppose your friends in the NBA and your friends you've got in America are in a difficult situation as well, because they don't know where this curve's headed in the US right now. So they're also guessing. How optimistic are they about getting this NBA season up and running again?
Yeah, well, I speak to a fair few fellas over there via text, and obviously everyone's sitting in their house pretty bored, so there's a lot of texts floating around and phone calls. But I know California's now gone to May 1, I believe. A lockdown is going to be at minimum to May 1, so that automatically rules out the Los Angeles franchises and Sacramento and the Golden State Warriors. So you can't see a league going ahead without those teams. They're floating the idea of what rugby league was floating here about moving to one base. So they pick a city, they move everyone there, and they just play, for TV, and there's no fans, and they play it out that way. That would be interesting in itself if that happened, but I can't see that happening. So I know a lot of guys are just basically in lockdown. They haven't had a whole lot of contact with the league because it's just an idle sit and wait type thing. But I mean, time is of the essence. I think they've probably got till the end of this month, early May, to make a concrete decision on whether the season's cancelled or not. And if it does go ahead and starts in June, then it's going to create even more ripples throughout the basketball community, because that means that the following NBA season is going to start later, which will then most likely hinder the Olympic Games for basketball. The NBA is still running in July, August. You don't have any NBA players playing the Olympic Games. So there's a whole lot of issues with this that'll trickle down to even the Olympic Games.
You don't mind having a say about politics on Twitter, Andrew. Is politics something you'd think about in the future?
Not really, no. I mean, I think it's something that I wouldn't really handle too well. I definitely have an opinion, and I don't really side to one party, much to probably the disbelief of many people out there. I think they like to label me on one side or another, but I kind of take every issue as it is, and I'm not a groupthink type guy, so I think I'd struggle with a party trying to make me push something that I don't agree with or like.
Do you think you'll have some involvement though in running of franchises and overseeing basketball in some way, shape or form? Because it does seem as if you do like to look at the next direction, the next big thing. You are always with a focus forward attitude, the way I read you.
Yeah, I guess that's just being an athlete and trying to get better, and sometimes it's taken upon as a negative Nelly, but it's always about getting better. And my gripes with the NBL, like you mentioned earlier, aren't from a point of trying to talk the league down. It's trying to make sure that it doesn't happen again and it gets better the next time. And I definitely would be interested in doing something like that down the line, probably when I've got a bit more grey hairs than I do now. But it's something I'm interested in, and I really enjoy, like, even just being with the Sydney Kings the last 2 years. I think just being part of that journey to rebuild the club culturally from where it was to where it is now, that's what I enjoy almost as much as playing at times, because the club was in a pretty bad spot for as far as wins and losses and being professional and being culturally ripe. And I think we're in a position now where that's all started to change. So being part of those processes, that's kind of the beauty of being involved in sport. And that's probably something I'd look to do more down the track.
And you're still getting a bit of heat from a few from China on the Twitter, I see.
Oh yeah. No, so it's good fun. The bots, the bot farms, I definitely get some interesting things about family members and people. They're wanting people to die, so it's always makes for a good fun reading it sometimes. But that's what you go with when you put your neck out and have an opinion, which I don't mind at all.
How do you cope though with the negativity? How do you sort of get that and sort of be with a shield of steel and let it hit you and drop off you?
You just got to learn to take it. Like, if it really affected me, I wouldn't. That's the message you have for young kids and athletes. If it really affects you, where you're thinking about it night and day, and just the negative side of things, you got to log in and also read the positives. There's a lot of positives that I get as well. That's just a part of social media. I think the generation that we have now, you can hide behind a facade and throw rocks at people, and they can't throw them back. So I think it goes on. Pretty much everything I say on Twitter, I'm happy to say in a public forum, and I'm happy to say to somebody's face. Whereas a lot of people on those social media platforms definitely wouldn't say half the stuff they're saying if they were walking down the street and saw you or I or whoever they're directing their anger at. So it definitely makes it interesting, and you just got to take the good with the bad, I guess. You're gonna have melon heads everywhere walking around, and then when you confront them, not the big bullies, they generally quiet down.
Great to have you, Andrew. It's nice to be able to chat to you. I know you're in isolation at the moment, but good luck when you get out there, and maybe that community hoop out there in the park somewhere. If someone sees you, try and just stay away and get that 4 meter selfie from a distance. And we'll see how
exactly
you go.
Right. Selfie sticks, all time high sales, selfie sticks.
Good to hear you in such good spirits, Andrew. Thanks for your time.
All right. See you. Bye.
Andrew Bogut joining me. Great to have him on the program. Thanks to Dometic, mobile living made easy. What did you make of that? Still pretty keen to get to the Olympic Games, which is great news for Australia. If he gets his body right, he does have one full 12-month peak of powers kind of season left in him, which would be great news. Always have fresh food and cold drinks on hand thanks to the new Dometic CFX3. We'll take a break and take your calls next. 1300 736 736.